Okay, I think, yep, that's great. I have a great cartoon at home, which is a picture of somebody at the front of a church kind of confessing their troubles, if you like a confession of sins and so on. And the vicar-like guy is there listening, and he's looking troubled as he hears all of these problems, and he says, "I think I need to send you to a church that specializes in forgiveness." I kind of wonder what church shouldn't be specializing in forgiveness. So we're going to look at a Bible passage. We're going to look at a question of how to get eternal life. But actually, maybe that's a thought-provoking start, because sometimes when we can't get forgiveness for things, we just want it to be over. And eternal life would sound like something frightening if there's no forgiveness. And that's a little added introduction because I've just pinched Simone's music stand. Simone's music stand. But she's a good forgiving person. Because my computer wouldn't stand on that one. So there we go. Our topic this time comes from Luke 18, 18 to 30. And it is, have you been missold the gospel? Okay, I'm not sure you'll get too many lawyers phoning you up saying we want to represent you. But many times now you hear a gospel message that makes it so simple and so easy just to, you can have a relationship with God. And it is in one sense. It's available to everybody. But there are some details that might shock you. And if you don't hear those details, then I think you've been missold the gospel. It's available to all, but there are some things that you might view as small print. And actually, when you read through the gospels, you see that as often as Jesus is inviting people, the things that he says actually send people away from him. And at the end of some of his sermons, it says, "And many left." And at the end of the passage we're going to read now, we have somebody who leaves. So Simon's going to come and read to us Luke 18, 18 to 30.
Luke 18, 18 to 30. And as a ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honour your father and mother." And he said, "All of these I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack: sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." When he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Peter said, "See, we have left our homes and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there is none who left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life."
Okay, I wondered if we'd end up having a service today. So I tried to do lots of extra preparation. And there is a handout that will come to you in a few minutes' time. And my wife looked at it and says, "There's too much on there." So you may think the same. Find the little bits that you find helpful on it. And that's enough as far as I'm concerned. But I also figured that being at home, if you get stuck at home more than usual in the next few weeks, could be a blessing or it could be a complete frustration. So my theory is, instead of closing the schools, they should lock all the kids in the schools. They're the ones who spread it around and they won't suffer so much. So, but if you'll be at home enjoying the time with your kids and wondering what to do with your time, then it's an extra opportunity to spend time thinking about things you've heard in church, thinking about discussion questions, thinking about Bible passages, listening to things. I've even stuck on here, if you read the very small bits that are on their side, there's a link to a podcast that John would probably like from, and I never know how to say it, I want to say Legionnaires, but it is that word, right? Ligonier, okay. He's mentioned a group that tickles his brain with lots of theology. And they actually have a podcast, which is called, I've forgotten now, Simply Put. And there's the name of that on here. So if you want to go into podcasts and have your brain tickled in the same way as John, that goes through different bits of theology and so on there. So try and use it as an opportunity. Not just as a frustration time. Okay, having given you that intro, and I like to look at the passage, and you'll see there's a whole load of blurb in here when you get it, which is me trying to go through the passage, but I then like to take it wider and to see how we can use that to think about the world we live in, and the people we should be praying for, and the things that we should be doing as God wants to use us in the world. But it comes from the themes that I think you will find are in this passage. So having done that, my usual kind of quiz, this one's even harder than usual. Okay, but who is this question? Anybody know? Alan. So I've tried to give a tiny hint. This is actually a guy called Peter Linus, and he is now the Evangelical Alliance UK director. So the Evangelical Alliance is a kind of umbrella group that tries to represent many of the churches across the UK. And it often will speak for Christians into politics, and particularly with the media, when they want a reaction of what the churches think on things. He is often the guy who will, or the EA are often the organization who will try and do that. He is, what's his title? He's created the position of UK director underneath him. So Alan's mentioning another guy who is, and I've forgotten what his title is, but it's somehow over director.
Yeah.
So he brought in Peter Linus, and what they have worked out is that they feel very often the church is responding to the questions that are asked of it. And really, we want to be ahead of that. We want to be setting the agenda on what people should be talking about and how we can input into different things. And he was representing the EA in Northern Ireland, and having had quite a track record of doing that well, they've now made him a UK director to try and be proactive in representing not just Christian voice into things, but a Christian witness into helping in different situations and what God's good way is. So that's Peter Linus. That's your warm-up. Next one. Who is this? See, I'm telling you about things going on all around the country here that could be of interest to you. Admittedly, we're about 200 miles away from this, but this is a guy called Sean Bailey, and he's just been told he's got an extra year to wait. But he is one of the candidates to be London mayor. Extra year to wait because they've announced they're postponing the mayoral elections for a year. But he is the Conservative candidate for London mayor. And he's a Christian. If you want to go through the leaflet in a moment, you'll find another podcast that you can listen to that goes out on Premier Radio. It's called The Profile, and he's interviewed on there. So you can hear a bit about him. So that's a difficult world for Christians to go into. So it's a good person for us to be praying for. And because it's a difficult world, very often Christians flee from it. But we need people in there, so we should be praying for them when they want to get into that world. We are looking at the topic of following Jesus, and Jesus was going into difficult situations that included politics, that included whether you become popular among other people or whether they want to silence you. So there is a link back into what we're doing. So you're not doing very well so far, but maybe you're learning something from this, okay? That's Sean Bailey. Last one. Who is this? Okay, I'm just... okay. What was the peace? We've got a clever answer here because he's got a name badge on that says Peace and Hope Rally. Anybody know what the Peace and Hope Rally is?
It's a rally about peace and hope.
Okay. Peace and Hope Rally centered on London. They were looking at gun crime, they were looking at knife crime, and they were looking at how you get communities to interact to try and reduce those problems, not just lock them up, not just try and catch them, but what's going on, what do you do to actually bring peace and give hope into that situation. And this is a guy called Nim Zobunge. And he's also a London mayor candidate who's also got an extra year to wait. He's actually standing as an independent. He's a church pastor, but he's been involved in consulting with the Home Office and people coming out of prison and how you help to get people back into life, people who others thought of as unforgivable for the crime that they did and wrote off and just did not want out in society. He's been engaged with them. Also works as a chaplain in the police and all kinds of quite interesting things. So that is two Christians who are candidates to be London mayor. Quite an interesting route that following Jesus has taken for them, and good things for us to be praying for. Last one. Go on, it's a bit easier, this one. Okay. This is Bear Grylls. So we've got the name there. And he's a former SAS man and an adventurer, now a TV celeb. And he also, you may or may not know, is a Christian. And his biography has been quite interesting to read. Definitely gritty and endurance powers. He goes through at length the training that he did to get into the SAS, and not an easy route for him particularly into the SAS. And a lot of the time, and I've done just a tiny, not any SAS training, but I used to do a lot of outdoor stuff with scouts and things, and sometimes you're on a rock face with tiny little grips, and you start off with this challenge of, I'm going to conquer this, I'm going to do this. And sometimes when you get stuck and you're there with virtually nothing to hold on to, you just think, what on earth am I doing? I could just walk around here. Why am I trying to do things in this way? And one of the things that came through to me in the SAS training that he did is just the willpower that you need to keep going. And you've seen TV programs now maybe on what it's like to try and join the SAS and how it's a filtering out process and how so few people get through it because of the test to only get the elite. So when we look at what becoming a Christian is it about only the elite? No. That's what I want to make very clear at the beginning. The chance to become a Christian, the chance to follow Jesus, is there for absolutely everybody. It's not just something for the elite. It's something that is available. However you feel disabled from the past, whatever things you think inhibit your freedom, you are able to become a Christian. So what is the selection process for becoming a Christian? What does it take? Or, in the words of the guy that came to Jesus in our passage in Luke 18, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's a pretty simple question, isn't it? Right now, a lot of us are just worried about what we're going to do to stay alive, which is a paranoia beyond what most of us will need, because it will be a cold or a bit of flu if it comes your way. But for some, it will be life-changing, and it will make them think about life and death, because for some, it will be life-ending. So it's not an inopportune time to talk about what happens after that. Is there life beyond that? If there is, which I believe there is, then what must I do to inherit eternal life? There's an extra slide in next, so you can just skip past that. It's a repeated one. What must I do to inherit eternal life? I'm going to look at the question and the question and the questioner. Okay. In particular, let's start with the questioner. The guy that came to Jesus, and I should let the leaflets go around, actually, if you can somehow arrange those to go around. You do not have to read them now. This is something for you to take home and remember afterwards things that were said. But the guy who came to Jesus, the story appears in three different Gospels. And if you go through the three different Gospels, you'll find that he was not only rich, but he was young, and he was a ruler. So he had a lot going for him. He was a rich, young ruler. Life was going well for this man. And then you'll see that he claims to have kept all of the commandments. And everybody says, hang on a moment. No, they don't. And actually, not even Jesus says, hang on a moment, when he claims to have lived a good life. If you read one of the other gospel accounts, it just said Jesus was full of love for him. A lot about the way that he had lived his life was very honorable. He stood there as a pretty good man who seemed to have everything going for him. And not only that, I think he came to Jesus with a genuine interest, a kind of recognition that Jesus might be somebody that he wants to hear from who would have wisdom for him. He came with interest. Again, in the gospel accounts, as you read the three ones, you will find that he came and he was on his knees before Jesus. He didn't come to say, I am a young, rich ruler who has everything going for him. Have you got anything to say to me? He actually came in learning mode to hear what Jesus would have to say to him. And he asks his question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I've lived a good life. I've tried to keep all of the commandments. I've kept those. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The answer that Jesus gave had the effect of causing him to leave. Jesus said, you must go and sell everything that you have and follow me. You must let go of everything that you've achieved so far and come and follow me. And he left. So, we mentioned Bear Grylls. Looking at this passage, I would like to introduce you to the AAA+ Faith Base Camp introduction to believing God. Okay, Faith Base Camp. And there are three areas we're going to cover very quick. Three A's. Almighty God, all-consuming discipleship, and all-inclusive transformation. So let's look at the first one of those things. Almighty God. Way back, there were times when I used to go down the street knocking on the doors wanting to talk about my faith. And when you want to talk about your faith knocking on the doors, lots of people don't want to talk about it. So it's a very short conversation. And there are plenty of people who you meet who do want to talk about it. And they actually want to tell you what their opinion is on what God should do. And I think you'd probably relate to that. You have your ideas on who God is and what he should do. You probably would want to say something to him even about things like the coronavirus. But it's probably the wrong starting point. If there is an almighty God, do you think it's for us to give our opinion to him? Or do you think we should want to know what he has to say to us? I read a book which had a quote in it, so I found quite interesting, which said, if you invite everybody, you've invited nobody. have to think about some of these little brain teasers. If you invite everybody, you've invited nobody. E.g., if you get an invitation to go and see the Queen, you feel pretty special. Because not everybody gets that. And if having got that invitation, you actually get a chance to talk to her for a few minutes, again, you feel singled out and a little bit special. Why? Because it's an amazing person that not many get that time with, and you got time. So, if you meet an almighty God, is it for us to say, hang on a moment, I think you should rewrite your plan, I think you could do this better. With all the study I've done and everything I can see, I've got a better way than you have. Or if you really believe that that is an almighty God, I think listening mode might be the right one to have. Not just because of his wisdom, but because of his power. We believe in a creator God. A God who can do miracles. Sometimes we say things that we think are miracles, and then we can explain away how they happen, and it's not a miracle. We believe in a God who does miracles, things that we cannot explain. And if you meet a God like that, who does things that you cannot explain, I think listening mode is a good mode to have. This man came to Jesus with an interest to hear what Jesus would say, but he wasn't completely in listening mode. Because when he heard the answer, he went away. If you think God is speaking to you, if you're trying to work out how you relate to God, is it wise to walk away without responding to what he says? I think if we believe in an almighty God, a God of all wisdom, a God of all power who does miracles, who can bring forgiveness into our lives, who can give us power to go on when sometimes the stuff that's happened in the past would make us want to give up and wish we were dead. But he has power to help us live. Then I think we want to listen to what he says to us. So, who have we met? Who did this rich young ruler meet? He met an almighty God in the form of Jesus. And he had a chance to listen. But what did Jesus ask of him? What Jesus asked of him was what I've called all-consuming discipleship. All-consuming discipleship. And on the bottom of the front bit of your leaflet, it said, faith is not available as a lifestyle add-on. Because at the end of the day, that's how a lot of us treat the idea of believing in God. It can be our Sunday hobby. It can be our nice little moral bit. It can be our good deeds. It's something that we just add on as an extra to our lives. And what Jesus said to the rich young ruler when he came to him is, I am not offering you a little package of lifestyle add-on just to list with your achievements. What I want of you is all-consuming discipleship. Everything else you put behind, you may or may not get to pick it up again, but you have to be ready to put behind those things and say, I come first. You're going to follow me. Very quick diversion that I hadn't put in here. One of my favorite films is a Crocodile Dundee film. No, it's not even Crocodile. It's Jewel and the Nile, sorry. Jewel and the Nile. Searching for a pearl. And the pearl has been got by the bad guys and has been swallowed by a crocodile. And without telling the whole story, the other two, the guy and the girl who are falling in love, having met in trying to get this pearl, they are trying to get back the pearl. They realize it's in the crocodile. And the guy manages to catch the crocodile as he's escaping over a pier. He's actually got this, I don't recommend this, he's got the crocodile by the tail as the crocodile is going over the edge of this wall with the view of catching the crocodile, killing it and getting the pearl. Meantime, the bad guys up one level in this castle have captured the girl and she's screaming for help. So he is there. Pearl about to escape, the treasure that he was after, And the girl he started to love, captured, about to be in, well, is in danger, about to be killed. Pearl girl, his head goes like this. Which one will I do? And that's what happens with the rich young ruler. Everything I have so far, wealth, the things I'm holding on to, the things I've valued so far, or follow Jesus. What I have, Jesus. What I have, Jesus. What I've achieved, or Jesus. Which one am I going to go for? You have to make a choice. If you want to know what the guy does, you have to watch the film. All-consuming discipleship. What Jesus asked of him is, if you want faith, you have to depend on me. It's not an add-on. And that's why I said, has the gospel been missold to you? If you think faith is just about coming to church, hearing some words of encouragement, hearing about peace and hope, and that's all you have to do, you've been missold the gospel. It's not that. It's Jesus saying, follow me, and that means you have to put him first. And to know that forgiveness, to know that hope, to know that peace will mean walking away from some things, not just bad things, but things that you have valued, to say, I put Jesus first in my life. All-consuming discipleship. Big challenge. We start with big hopes. We wonder how we're going to achieve those things. A video. See, we often think about our faith as just a private thing. But this man came to Jesus with the disciples around. If you think about those disciples, they were also people whom Jesus had met with, and Jesus said to them, follow me. And they had left the things that they were doing. They'd left their professions to follow Jesus, to be part of what Jesus was doing. And coming to faith is the same thing, because the invitation is not just come and get a blessing. The invitation is to follow Jesus and to be part of what he wants to do in people around you, and to be part of his kingdom, not just in the future, but his kingdom now. So my challenge today, if you were sitting here thinking, I just want to speak to those who don't yet know faith, is not just to those people. It's a challenge to each of us as Christians, because if we say we're going to follow Jesus, are we doing that in a way that is ready to be like the guys that I mentioned to you at the beginning, who are putting themselves up on a platform where they will get opposition and get mocking, but because they care and they want to show compassion and they want to show their faith in action and they want to follow Jesus even in the public places, they've gone past limits and said they want to do that. So, a challenge to us that I think comes from this parable is, what's limiting your freedom to follow Jesus? Where you are at this moment, as you meet with Jesus, as you hear his voice speaking to you, will you be like the rich young ruler who seemed to be doing okay, but who walked away denying that he had heard from an almighty God and figured he knew better by going off to do his own thing? Somebody who wasn't ready to have all-consuming discipleship because they were holding back part of their life. And someone who wasn't ready to be transformed because they were holding back. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that none of us has to have a second-hand experience of you. We can read your word and we can hear you speaking to us. We can hear the experience of other Christians, the story of other Christians, and then through that we can hear your Holy Spirit speaking to us. Father, I pray that you would help each one of us to know what you are saying now. And if there is a decision point that we are at, Father, I pray that you would give us courage and that you would help us, that we won't have limits to believing you, that we won't have limits of trusting our wisdom over yours, but that we would be ready to follow you with each step of our life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.